Thought of Oppenheimer as a crybaby scientist. On November 2, 1945, a wet and cold evening, the former director returned to the Hill. The Los Alamos Theater was again packed to its capacity to hear Oppie talk about what he called the fix we are in. He began by confessing, "I don't know very much about practical politics." But that wasn't important, because there were issues to be faced that spoke directly to scientists. "What has happened," he said, "has forced us to reconsider the relations between science and common sense." He spoke for an hour, much of it extemporaneously, and his audience was mesmerized. Years later, people were still saying, "I remember Oppie's speech." They remembered this night in part because he explained so well the welter of confused emotions they all felt about the bomb. What they had done was no less than an organic necessity. "If you were a scientist," he said, "you believe that it is good to find out how the world works, that it is good to turn over to mankind at large the greatest possible power to control the world and to deal with it according to its lights and values. Besides, there was a feeling that there was probably no place in the world where the development of atomic weapons would have a better chance of leading to a reasonable solution and a smaller chance of leading to disaster than within the United States." Nevertheless, as scientists, Oppenheimer told them, they could not escape responsibility for the grave crisis. "Many people," he said, "will try to wiggle out of this. They will argue that this is just another weapon." Scientists knew better. "I think it is for us to accept it as a very grave crisis, to realize that these atomic weapons which we have started to make are very terrible, that they involve a change. They are not just a slight modification. It is clear to me that wars have changed. It is clear to me that if these first bombs, the bomb that was dropped on Nagasaki, that if these can destroy 10 square miles, then that is really quite something. It is clear to me that they are going to be very cheap if anyone wants to make them." As a result of this quantitative change, the very nature of war had changed. Now the advantage rested with the aggressor, not the defender. But if war had become intolerable, then very radical changes were required in the relations between nations, not only in spirit, not only in law, but also in conception and feeling. The one thing he wished to hammer home, he said, was what an enormous change in spirit is involved. The crisis called for a historical transformation of international attitudes and behavior, and he was looking to the experiences of modern science for guidance. He thought he had what he called an interim solution. First, the major powers should create a joint atomic energy commission, armed with powers not subject to review by the heads of state, to pursue the peaceful applications of atomic energy. Second, concrete machinery should be set up to force the exchange of scientists, so that we would be quite sure that the fraternity of scientists would be strengthened. And finally, I would say that no bombs be made. He didn't know if these were good proposals, but they were a start. "I know that many of my friends here see pretty much eye to eye. I would speak especially of Bohr." But if Bohr and most other scientists approved, everyone knew they were a distinct minority in the country at large. Later in his remarks, Oppie admitted that he was troubled by numerous official statements characterized by an insistent note of unilateral responsibility for the handling of atomic weapons. Earlier that week, President Truman had given a bellicose Navy Day speech in New York Central Park that seemed to revel in America's military power. The atomic bomb, Truman had said, would be held by the United States as a sacred trust for the rest of the world, and "we shall not give our approval to any compromises with evil." Oppenheimer said he disliked Truman's triumphalist tone. "If you approach the problem and say, 'We know what is right and we would like to use the atomic bomb to persuade you to agree with us,' then you are in a very weak position and you will not succeed. You will find yourselves attempting by force of arms to prevent a disaster." Oppie told his audience that he was not going to argue with the president's motives and aims, but, "We are 140 million people and there are 2 billion people living on Earth." However confident Americans might be that their views and ideas will prevail, the absolute denial of the views and ideas of other people cannot be the basis of any kind of agreement. No one left the auditorium that night unmoved. Oppie had spoken to them on intimate terms, articulating many of their doubts, fears, and hopes. For decades afterwards, his words would resonate. The world he had described was as subtle and complicated as the quantum world of the atom itself. He had begun humbly, and yet, like the best of politicians, he had spoken a simple truth that cut to the core of the issue. The world had changed. Americans would behave unilaterally at their peril.